Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. A day early, actually, because there's so much to get to. The debut of the Thunderdome, we have SmackDown, we have NXT, we have SummerSlam. I'm Cap Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with my usual cohort, Mr. Billy Body, Billy Bats.
Where's the bats come from now?
Body, Billy Bats. They go mafia style. You got a little nickname to you. Billy Bats, you use bat, knock people the fuck out. Especially all the other dirt sheets.
I thought that was one I'd missed somehow.
So we had debuts of things, and Billy is going to actually have the preview of Payback later this week alongside a review of Raw if anything happens tonight. But this will be your other breakdown because there's a ton of shit that went down. First and foremost, the debut of Thunderdome, where we started talking about it over text a little bit and then kind of stopped because you go, this is a good talking point for the show. Why put it here? You know what I mean? You were the opinion that it was not any good. You weren't thrilled with it, and you were more upset by the fact that they didn't have their voices in and it was piped in. Other than that type of stuff, what is your beef with a lot of things? And I'll tell you what my opposite opinions are.
It was just that in terms of if you're going to have them there, then let the sound come through. Also, I just felt that I just thought it was done better by the NBA in terms of like where they bothered to they shaped it out, like in terms of this is actually just big TV screens, mm-hmm. whereas in the NBA it had done it in some way where they looked like actual heads that were sitting there. Obviously they're computerized and sometimes they come out of the shape, but generally it's just done better where it looks like there's heads in the crowd. And that's just kind of like nitpicking, mm-hmm. but I do feel like they have to there's too many like huge TVs where I would have just got like much smaller TVs and got more people on. But I also would have integrated that with actual having people there. So I think the floor should have been your performance center people spaced out and continued that. So you had some genuine crowd noise mixed in with either piped in or I think when you look at that greatest match ever, and what it was missing was the fact that it looked ridiculous because so much noise was coming from 50 people. Now I think it makes a big difference. If you have the same people and the same noise, and then you just turn around and go, well, yeah, obviously the noise is coming from the extra. Because the argument was, why is the 50 people making a noise of 10,000? Well, you say, mm-hmm. now you don't say that because you say the noise of 10,000 people is being made by 50 people on the floor and the 5,000 tellies or whatever. Like you justify it, even though we know that their screens are muted. But I heard actually at SummerSlam that they decided to allow them to actually have the sound on, and that they were orchestrated by a director, which is what's been going around online today. So SummerSlam did sound better than SmackDown, which sound very piped. So I think as the weeks go on, they may continue to improve that. I don't really have too much issues with the technological side of things.
It grew on you a little more than it did from Friday.
It didn't grow on me because I just think that, like, obviously them having it in arena is better, but in terms of the lack of responses to things are still there when Oscar wins a title in front of nobody. And mm-hmm. obviously there's no response at all. When once Sasha taps out, there should be a pop there. And they haven't quite worked that out. Mm-hmm. Whereas obviously in the PC, you would have had the response, but it looks like shit. So there's pros and cons for both. Obviously this is better. There was a sarcastic comment where I turned around and said the PC is better.
I was just going to say, you said the PC was better before, so that was sarcastic.
No, the PC is not better, but it's better in terms of getting a genuine reaction to outcomes. And I think if they iron that out, then this will be fine. But nothing's going to replace full crowds. Mm-hmm. And what I'm most interested to see is the fact that AEW are running at 30% on Wednesday. So I'm really going to be interested to see.
Is it 30?
They said that they.
I thought it was 10 originally, they said.
Well, Jericho, maybe they legally said 10, but Jericho flat out said that groups of four can buy tickets, but if you're a group of two, you can still occupy, we'll still sell you a pod of four for a group of two, and there's four places set out. So in theory, if all those pods, those four people pods sell as four, because they said they're selling them in pairs minimum, right?
Yeah.
But if they if they have groups of four somehow getting them all, because what's happened is, right, is that people have come through, and this is the big problem they're having, and they're like now trying to talk to secondary websites and all that, because what happened is everybody went on and bought four, because you're allowed to buy four, but you're really supposed to just buy two if you're a group of two. So if it's me and you, we can't buy four and sell the other two, because that means that you're mixing households, right? That's against the rules, but that's what a load of people have done. So AEW have asked them to people to get in touch to say, if you bought yours with a secondary market, or you're sitting from someone that isn't your friend or from your household, and we'll make it up to you later. Now, I don't know if people are going to trust that, because that's basically Tony Khan saying, tell us about it, we'll pay you back all your money, and we'll give you like probably some fucking t-shirts and tickets to a show once all this shit's over. That's what they're trying to do to make up for it. But in theory, if they were all sold as fours and everybody turned up, there's no way that would be 10% capacity. There's no way that would even be 30% capacity. I mean, they obviously know that they haven't sold every pod as a four, but they know some people have tried to scam it online. But either way, that's going to be, I think, 1,000 people in arena, and I want to see what that sounds like.
You know, that why is it that AEW is the fucking generator of new stuff? Like, they had their wrestlers in the crowd when WWE had a fucking WrestleMania without a soul there, which was horrific. It's like, they should be the leaders in this, and they're behind, and it takes them a while to go, oh, I guess that works. So, like, AEW selling tickets to actually have human beings there. WWE always pride themselves like they're the first show back after 9/11. Oh, they didn't stop in COVID. Shit like that. And it's like, they're now behind people when it comes to this kind of shit, where I've always said you could have every, you know, four seats in between everybody and have the row behind you empty, and then have four rows and behind that in an entire arena. And you could have it decently fucking filled like that without people next to each other. And it just isn't the case.
Yeah, this is the problem with it, though, is that Vince was offered all of these options around WrestleMania time, and even like with your Oculus thing and all that, where they said that they had conversations with a lot of VR companies about mainly the TV side of things, and in terms of investing in a technology where the people would think there's a crowd around them, because that has been possible for a while, where there's a lot of virtual stadium tours where you're looking at New England Patriots, FC Barcelona, Manchester United, all around the world, where part of the stadium tour allows you to watch a virtual moment of history. So in terms of, you would put these goggles on and you'd sit at whatever stadium you're on as part of the tour that you're touring. And once you put the goggles on, it pretends that there's a crowd around you and you're re-witnessing a goal or a touchdown or whatever. There's loads of stadium tours that offer that VR experience. So they could have like had the home experience in time for WrestleMania, where WrestleMania would have looked like it was with a crowd for people that had VR. Vince said no. He said, like, let's just ride this out. Everybody will be back to normal soon or whatever. I mean, this could be the problem in terms of actually having a relationship with Trump, because if you've got a direct line to the president, you probably trust that when this moron is saying, yeah, it's all a hoax and it's all going to be fine and give it 2 months or whatever. It's probably what has been told. So having that direct line, he's probably gone there and thought that they don't need to make all these investments that UFC the thing is, UFC haven't made investments. They've just gone right back down to almost a Raw Underground thing, where it's been like UFC Underground the whole time, where they've just actually just had their fights in a very low-key atmosphere, just surrounded by trainers and commentators, so it has an underground vibe to it.
Yeah,
and it's been good because it's a real fucking fight. Like, it's a real fight that happens, and you've been able to hear it all. And they've actually not come out of it too badly. The NBA did their thing, and that's where it really intrigues me, that WWE copied a crowd, then they copied the NBA, and now they'll have a look at the AEW situation in terms of letting people in. But the thing is that this Thunderdome is a two-month commitment where you can't get people in and around that unless you start to actually break it down. There's no, you can't get people in the bleachers. So if you were starting to sell tickets, it would be on the floor seats and spreading people out. But I'm pretty sure that the deal with the Amway prohibits them from doing that, in terms of they've now made a commitment where they got this building for cheap because it was doing absolutely nothing, because the Amway isn't authorized to do an event till 2021. So I don't think that they'll be allowed to let people in as part of their agreement with the Amway. So AEW is going to get two clear months here where it's going to be AEW's format versus WWE's format. And like I said, I'm really interested to see how that looks, because they, I feel like, will have a decent amount of people in for their pay-per-view, MJF versus Moxley in 2 weeks. I feel like there'll be a decent amount of people in there, and it will feel as close to normal as we've seen so far ahead of WWE.
How long does WWE have the contract with Amway before this is done?
It's 2 months.
Okay. All right. Now, my opinion with the whole screen thing,
I think it's $50,000 a week they paid him.
Really? $50,000 a week? My God. Oh, shit. So my opinion with the monitors and everything, I thought it was great. I like that they had the pyro stuff behind it, that they can turn it into kind of Titantron-esque to have a background that's wild, like when Fiend came out, looked fucking cool. The piping in, my biggest problem was the fake noise. It took a bit to get used to. It drives me crazy with fake noise. And the only reason I'm thinking that they cannot have the people's noise in there, even though it's a group of them, I think you would hear individual way too much. Like, it would almost be, it's not a roar, it's not a murmur. I think you would actually hear, like, I think if you went up to the microphone and yelled cocksucker, I think you would actually catch it, opposed to being in a giant stadium with that many people. So technically, I don't know if doing Zoom with 1,000 people would actually do something like a crowd noise. But other than that, I thought it was great with that, the cameras out there with all the people on it and everything like that. I thought it was completely different. I like that it was a lot brighter. I do like your idea of having the floor be like performance people and then having the rest of the stands all the TVs, because you could still do that background of the Titantron, shit like that. I like that there was nothing on the sides of the ramp other than lights and shit like that. So I was a lot happier the way this looked, and being in a bigger arena and things like that, I thought it was a breath of fresh air compared to what we've had to deal with for this year. And, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, I almost think we shouldn't be as cynical as, like, every wrestling fan, you know, nothing's good enough. But from what we've had to deal with, there hasn't been anything. I mean, MLB barely came back, and NBA barely came back. This has been nonstop. They never stopped, which is insane, because we've all said, why didn't they just take 3 months off? They don't fucking stop. And it's almost like, thank God we had something. As bad as it was, there was something. So I kind of like go, thank God for you guys. They did something for us. Even though it was horrific, like with Mania and shit like that. But it makes me think we're almost on the way out of the fucking plague when I see, like, AEW having actual people coming and shit like that. But I also think we're not quite obviously there yet, and all hell could still fucking break loose, like in NFL and shit like that. I'm waiting for bullshit to happen.
Yeah, but the problem was is that they for 3 or 4 days they built up this Thunderdome as having a big debut and everything, and that the world will be envy of the world and all that. It wasn't that. It was just basically a bunch of zoo. I don't see the whole thing with the drones and.
No drones. I totally forgot about that. That was even mentioned. But I mean, it was something that I've never seen before. I mean, you say NBA and stuff, but like NBA, it's so rare to even see a fan when until they like have to go to them or show the bench close up because it's all side to side. This is like directly everything there. So I was thrilled by what I saw. I really just liked the fact that it would change into what they wanted it to, like the Titantron type of thing with the fireworks behind it. I thought that was a nice added thing to it. Like they could just turn it on and off and people were rotated. And even the horse tooth jackass was trying to get on TV there like a fucking mark.
Yeah, but that first of all, it's never good to have a look at what these guys look like anyway, which I was...
Yes. In their own environment.
Yeah, which I said from the get-go in terms of it's going to really expose you because I thought legitimately they would do some kind of search where we would have pretty people picked out from photos and things where they would be the front and center of get really good spots every show. Like everybody would eventually be like, oh, you're that girl who we saw. We would actually like make people almost out of this where in terms of like, you know, where their super fans are those fucking, you know, Brock Lesnar dickhead and Frank the Clown and all these morons.
And I saw Rick the Sign Guy. Did you see him? The red hatted guy that always has those signs. I saw him. Oh, he was front and center in, but they rotate him out.
Yeah, I mean, I figured you'd have like Noelle and these guys, but then you'd get some pretty girls and some wrestlers' families and stuff and put them into prominent positions, but they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's that important, but for me, yeah, it's just looking at these people. It's the huge TVs. I like the way it all changed and stuff, and obviously we're used to it at this point, but I mean, the main problem with SmackDown was in terms of getting all these people to it, it's building yourself up to be anticlimactic unless you generally come through and do something revolutionary, which they didn't. Which I don't think you can argue that they did because they did. They didn't. They didn't do anything revolutionary. They used the concept that's already been going on for a few weeks and slightly changed it to be their own. That's all they did. And which doesn't mean it's not an improvement on what's mm-hmm. going on, but that is generally what they did. And then they put on a really like weak show. You thought that SmackDown would have come out firing hard, and you started with Bray and Vince or whatever, but nothing really happened.
Yeah, like Vince is in the ring for nothing to have a threat toward him. I guess I'm like, he says welcome and that's it. I'm like, oh my god.
I honestly feel that they would have been better off in terms of just saying that we are going to be at the Amway from Friday, and then once you just say, oh, they're going to be in an arena and you don't know nothing about it, and you get there and then they do all this,
yeah, that's
I think people would have been like really happy. But to
good surprise.
Name it the Thunderdome and then to mm-hmm. say you're going to be doing all this, that and the other, and it's going to be this great experience and everything, I feel like they really like put themselves in a tough spot where they could never have lived up to what they said.
They're begging for ratings. That's why it's like they have to announce it to try to get the people to tune in instead of just surprising. It's like they don't do the old day wrestling anymore where somebody shows up. Now they have to announce like Keith Lee tonight, you know, shit like that instead of just surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And that's the thing where it's like Keith Lee's going to debut tonight and on that, which goes alongside Roman returning and all of the people, you know, that win big matches and stuff. It needs a pop, and that pop hasn't been found in terms of this. And I don't know why, because I think that if you allowed people to have a, you say that one voice would drown everything out, but I think like obviously if you had all the audio, what I would do is instead where you like flip people in and out, I would just basically say like, you know, but your audio remains consistent throughout, like everybody's audio is there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, the crowd of the noise of the crowd, whether it be or what home or whatever, if people are reacting, then it would still sound quite similar, but you can always add that, aid that with piping the sound in and having enough people in and around it. But as I said,
do you think they've tested it though? Like, do you think that was one of the first things, like, they kind of did on a test run? Like, said, let's leave the audio up and let's see what it sounds like. You think they did that and then said, this is a fucking wreck, we can't fucking do it, and I'm hearing people, or it sounds like shit. I would think someone would have the brains to say, let's test it out, but I can't put anything past them at this point.
There's always this weird noise in the background, though, the entire time. This kind of, like, chatty crowd noise that's in the background. I don't know what that's from, whether it is actually the chatty crowd, whether it is actually from people watching the show on there, or whether it is something that they piped in. But there's now white noise, it's called. There is some type of like white noise piped in throughout, so it's never the case of that silence or whatever. But as I said, would make a world of difference to me if they actually had some like real guys in there making the noise. But as there's no ticket sales authorized, it's going to have to be the PC guys and everything. But again, it's just, the main problem was the hyperbole, and I was coming into that expecting a big show with an incredibly revolutionary concept. But all we really saw was the copying of someone else's idea and an improvement on what they'd been doing for the past 3 months, and that was it. But that is not a bad thing. That is, whenever you're saying, oh hey, you improved what you did last week, like, that's not bad. It's only bad when you say that we're gonna blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, that's hard to
do. You get what? Yeah, whereas it's obviously better.
Can't match your build up.
They never do. We talked a few weeks ago about how one of the key problems they have is that in all movies and TV series, people like to write their own stories, but they fall into the trap of, people often write better stories with their imagination than WWE like pay off. Like, in terms of that, we did it in a group chat where Roman comes back last night and Umar's like, oh, he's a leader of retribution. Well, that'll be cool, but it won't be. But if he was, like, our imaginations are now rolling onto a place where all these times this guy's been a good guy, and now he's coming in, and I mean, he sure looked
like a bad guy last night.
All top stars have like led groups, like Triple H went from DX to lead Evolution, and Randy Orton then, when it was in Evolution, and then he led Legacy, and it's quite a natural thing to do in terms of top guys. I mean, out and out baby faces like Cena haven't done it. But in this company, like, there are a lot of guys that go on to lead groups. You had Sean with DX and Brett with the Heart Foundation. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole legacy of guys that have gone on to lead a group. And I know he's from the Shield, which didn't really have a designated leader, but he could be the leader of this group. But I don't think they even know what they're doing with that, because they planted seeds over the last few weeks, because they don't know who the leader is, in terms of, it could be Miz, it could be Sheamus, it could be Owens. All these people have had weird interactions with this group.
On Friday, I thought it was Miz. On Friday, because they made a point of showing Miz show up very late to help defend it. And I'm like, it'd be fucking weird. There's like, that does not fit at all with Miz. It's like, why? And Miz is with a fucking group that's terrorizing people. It does not fit him.
And he would shame us, where he said, like, oh, they wouldn't even dare interfere in my match, and they didn't. So, I mean, they've sown seeds for everybody, because I don't think they know who it is. But Roman would have been very good, but I think maybe this should be, if it's not going to be Roman, it should be Triple H with his whole guys, and he's just sick of Vince. Like a story that we talked about ages ago, in terms of how you could do WrestleMania and
whole invasion, you know,
whereas that it was like, you know, WrestleMania's in their house at the Performance Center.
Yeah,
and I had an idea where Triple H could had his NXT guys attack. Well, these are NXT guys. If they're not going to be NXT guys long term, they're definitely NXT guys playing them off. I mean, one of them is fucking DJ Z. 100%. Like, you can hear it from the voice, but he's not going to actually be in the group. So some of these midgets are going to be binned off for the likes of Dijakovic and people to come in. But Ciampa apparently comes back to NXT this week. So they advertised that on NXT. So I have no idea why he was so heavily expected to be in there.
With Roman, like, his t-shirt practically said that he was the leader, you know, where it was wreck everyone and leave, which is a pretty good t-shirt, which makes you say, oh, okay, that's what the fuck they're doing. They're wrecking everything, you know, so it makes you think that. But if Roman went out there,
you're putting too much trust in him. Like, you're saying, like, oh, that t-shirt means what that group does. Well, yeah. That group also dresses up like ninjas who are also on the same show. So just because he's doing something that somebody else is doing, well, those people are already dressed the way other people are dressed, which is even dumber. Doing what people do in wrestling is dumb, but it happens a lot. But dressing as people dress in wrestling, having two groups dressed in exactly the same disguise, is still the dumbest thing of the whole year, in a year that's full of stupid shit. The fact that we have the Dark Order and the ninjas and the Retribution all in the same three outfits. First of all, it looks like a fucking AEW invasion of the Dark Order. Which, by the way, did you see Luke Harper beat fucking win Cody's title?
I didn't see him beat him. I just know he did.
He beat him in like 3 or 4 minutes in a squash match.
You know, the only thing I have seen from AEW anytime recently was there was a tag match. And Colt Cabana was with the Dark Order, and my brain couldn't wrap around it, where I'm like, is he with them? That is the oddest fucking pairing there could possibly be.
Yeah, they recruited him. Like, they were like,
that makes no sense at all.
Yeah, but the way they did it, it made a little bit of sense. But
well, my thought with Roman is, if he got in the ring tonight and got on the microphone and explained why he's back, I'm back because the fans are gone now. All these disgusting pig fans who boo me are not here, and I don't have to listen to their mouths anymore. I come here, bust my ass, and you boo me? He could get vicious and vile and be like, I hate all these fans. Nobody's here. Good. You don't deserve to be here in my presence. You have to sit at home. You're not even allowed to be here to boo me, because that's all I hear. So
what was with the gum shield?
The what?
His gum shield last night.
What gum shield? What are you talking about? Oh, those horse teeth, you mean?
He's a Derek Montoya tribute.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know what's funny is I didn't even know until today. Somebody told me, and I was like, really? And I go, shit. And then Umar sent a picture and stuff. I was dying. I go, yeah, he did have those little baby teeth with a little gap in between. So I'm like, if you're going to get new teeth, the correct thing to do is have them a little faded, not have them Dick Van Dyke fucking chiclet white, where they're blaring, you know. Even fucking Orton busted his balls on Twitter. I mean, Jesus Christ.
They didn't stay that white permanently.
You had yours pretty white at one point?
Yeah, because they're not real teeth, are they? Yeah. They're just like a brand new thing. And over time, I mean, the idea is...
They have them different colors, though.
It's to maintain them in that. What do you mean?
Well, they have them in different shades when they give these things to people. They say you could choose a shade that matches, you know, a real teeth. And they're not the big fucking whites like fucking Miz.
Yeah, but most people go for that shade, because what they do is they offer you they say, oh, we can match your fucking teeth.
Yeah.
In which case you'd be like, oh, so let's match the...
Let's get yellow.
Yeah, or you can pay an extra £150.
Mm-hmm.
And bearing in mind, you're having a fucking 5-6 grand procedure, depending on how many teeth you want. Mine was, I think I spent like 2.5 because I had like 8. Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind, you're spending all that money to spend the extra like $150 to have teeth, professional teeth whitening, which lasts 3 years. You'll just be like, you know what? Whiten those dirty teeth and give me the and make the fake ones as white as possible. And everybody starts Everybody starts with that look when they have.
Because Matt Hardy, his whole bottoms are completely fucking dark and yellow, and his tops are fucking glowing. So he doesn't even have it matching. It's that fucking bad where the tops are fucking. He looks like Slimer smiling when he came out of the fucking hot dog bin.
That's why I had like the four and the four, like in mine. The four on the bottom, four on the top. It's the sides you can't see, but.
Oh my God. So what's your thoughts on NXT before we get into SummerSlam?
Well, I mean, just to finish, I mean, SmackDown was disappointing.
Do you feel they piped in boos when Braun came out? I did. I felt they kind of trying to make him a bad guy.
I that was so weird to me because I felt like those two guys were doing a double turn, and mm-hmm. it convinced me that like Braun was going to leave with the title on Sunday so that they could carry on and the Fiend could win it later on down the line. So I don't know when they finally had Roman lined up, but the whole tagline makes you assume they must have had it lined up from the minute they said you'll never see it. So that was weird. The whole match was weirdly built up, especially when you have the finish that you have. Also, when you have Bray going super babyface at the end of SmackDown as well. No selling that fall and coming back out as a Fiend. That's like the most babyface ending to it. So
yeah, Braun doing a pretty bad guy thing by fucking throwing somebody off a fucking loading dock. Like, I mean, he practically did the same thing to Roman, but he was strapped to a fucking gurney.
The weirdest thing is, right, is I couldn't fully tell you, and if all out of all three of these guys, if they had like a if they do go on to a triple threat or whatever, I don't know if Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, is a babyface or a heel. I don't know if Strowman is a heel or a face. And I definitely don't know what Roman is. Yeah. So we have three people who need to paint their like colors to a flag. Mm-hmm. Or is that the saying?
I've never heard that before, but they got to show who they're going their colors. Yeah.
I'm sure it's paint your colors to flag. But. I'm gonna look that up.
Paint your colors to the flag.
I'm sure that's a saying, right?
I've never heard that before. Maybe it's an English thing.
No, it's not an English thing. Paint your colors to a flag. No, it's not a phrase. I don't think so. Nail your colors to a flag.
Nail your colors to a flag. Really? I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I got nailing a lot of DIYs. How to fucking
nailing the colors. Also nailing the colors DIY. To the mast. Nailing the colors to the mast or nailing the flag.
There you go. Nail your colors. I see that right now as I'm scrolling into Wikipedia.
What did I say? Paint your colors to the flag.
Paint your colors to the flag.
All right. Is a practice dating back to the age of sail that expresses a defiant refusal of surrender and willingness to fight the last man. During the age of sail, ships would legally fight only while flying their national flag.
Guess what the name of the fucking show is going to be this week?
It's going to be Save the Last
Save the Last flag. Dance for painting your colors to the flag.
I'm always like a word out with everything.
Make your own, that's all.
They will have to, all three will have to, I establish identity, I think, this week. It'll be interesting.
They'd
to see
have
they
to, just... like today. Today and Friday.
Yeah, but none of them are supposed to be on this fucking show tonight if they stick to the brand extension at least. But
oh, yeah, it's true.
So NXT in itself. So we're going to have NXT still at full sell with the performance set of people. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have AEW with the 30% capacity in an arena. And then we're going to have WWE doing their fucking Zoom TV, Zoom cameras. So it's going to be really weird. You're going to get three different vibes from all the shows, which is better because the only vibes we've had so far has been fucking shit. And now we're going to get three shows that look completely, or three brands that are going to look completely different. So that's going to be one thing. That'll be good. NXT was different in that sense to SummerSlam. Wasn't obviously your usual takeover, not just because of the crowds, just because I didn't feel
like I was kind of bored with takeover, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Pat McAfee can roll in and have the best match, and I felt like and I felt like that happened on both nights in terms of just talking about the two shows collectively. It was so weird to me that Dominic and McAfee were in the best matches.
And you know, I disagreed with you when you said one thing about it too. When you said they should have let McAfee win, I was like, thank God they didn't let him win. I'm like, Adam Cole, the longest champion ever, this guy walks in and fucking wins. I'm like, thank God. You can put up a good showing, but it's like, oh, don't have, it's like when, I mean, Lawrence Taylor beats fucking Bam Bam. It's the guy's fucking job, you know, but I mean, I guess when it's a one-time thing, they let people do that. But I was like, thank God Seth won. And thank God fucking Adam Cole won, because
yeah,
I think imagine
in that situation. Obviously, I would have had Cole get the win back, but I felt like I didn't expect him to have such a good showing. So like that kind of evened it out.
You think that's mostly Cole though? Like he's calling it and helping. I mean, obviously he's got to be calling it and doing all the heavy lifting.
Cole, yeah, but like the thing is that to pull off that fucking shit that he pulled off, like in terms of
just the backflip.
The backflip and then fucking jumping up and hit. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I've seen that suplex hit before by Kurt, but he would walk up the ropes. He wouldn't make a jump like that.
Yeah.
And keep his feet on there. So, I mean, he did a lot of shit in the match and in his selling and everything and his offense. All of it looked really. It did not look like he hadn't had a match before. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked better than when I had my first match. He deserves all the credit for that, but I think at the same time they could have done a finish where somebody turned or did something, or they found a way for McAfee to win in order for Cole to get another match. And when the McAfee had his guys out there and Undisputed Era out there, you could have maybe found a way for somebody to turn in the Undisputed Era or whatever. I don't know how you could have gone about it, just basic cheating and having Cole like campaign for a rematch to get another one out of it. But I feel like they had as good as match as they could possibly have had. But I'd like to see McAfee stick around because...
Oh, I think he is. I mean, I think he's like, he trains to be in wrestling. I think that's what like he signed there.
Well, that's the problem that you have with that already would be the fact that a lot of people have picked up on it, and it wasn't like it was a one-off observation that he was better at being a heel than everybody on the roster. It wasn't my opinion or the opinion of one or two people. Mm-hmm. It was a universal opinion that he came in and did a really good job as a heel, and that nobody in the WWE can generate that kind of heat. Like, I mean, apart from Orton, you put McAfee in that spot against Drew, he would be more compelling and more believable than Ziggler was at the pay-per-view before.
Yeah, that's true. And I
without any match, you'd believe that he had more of a chance of winning.
And I love the build-up to where they're holding back Cole, and he fucking kicks him in the fucking chest. Like, his finisher is a punt. I'm like, oh, that's fucking fantastic. Like, kicks him right in the fucking chest or whatever, you know, and fucking folds the guy because that was his fucking living. And so you know damn well if he were to kick you, he'd really fuck you up good.
Well, that segment was really good, and, like, the go-home segment was good. This was the best built-up match of the entire weekend, and then it was the best match too. And I'm not talking about NXT. I'm talking about SummerSlam as well. I mean, Drew and Orton had its moments, but the go home segment was trash, like with Sean and everything. So, and then obviously we'll talk about the finish of that match in a second. But yeah, moving off NXT, just generally, as I said, I don't care about the women's match. I thought they had a very like plain ladder match. Balor done Balor thing. You'll always have like, you know, 3.5-4 star match with whoever. I don't particularly like Thatcher or find him that interesting, but he was in there with Balor, and everybody gets a good match out of Balor. Then when we talked about McAfee and Cole, the main event, I had to sweat it out. I had under 24 minutes as a bet. I didn't realize that it came in at 21 minutes as I stopped watching NXT on Saturday to watch the UFC because there was more bets involved in that. Plus, Austin went to bed because he can't do two nights in a row. So we watched NXT properly today. And I didn't realize it comes so close to the 24-minute mark where that match was like just like nearly 22 minutes. And even with then, you had like a weird finish with him just like fucking superplexing him off the top. And everything with that finish, which meant like, oh, right. I looked at that and thought, oh, he's won. But Keith Lee is obviously coming back for that belt because this is not decisive at all. And there'll be rematches from this. And then they announced Keith Lee for Raw when that's like completely wide open. That must have been a late decision as well. Then they say that Karrion Kross may be injured from that match.
Yeah, he's already fucking out. Give it back to Cole.
Can't make my mind up on fucking on Scarlett because sometimes she just looks amazing, and then she looks amazing on Instagram, and then like even sometimes when she's around NXT, and then sometimes she looks like the way she did on Saturday, like when she looked
in a cat
just,
suit.
Well, not just it's not the cat suit. Her body's always fine. It's her face sometimes looks really fucking weird.
See, I'm a Penelope Ford man myself.
That's just very generic, though.
But it's very nice. I had a question for you here. You ready for this one? This is going to be a good one. WrestlingNewsSource.com. Do you know of them?
Not at all, no.
Okay. This is going to be your new favorite site. And do you know why this is going to be your favorite site?
They're citing me.
They are citing you, which that's all you ask for. Fucking give credit where credit is due. Their article is, Cody Rhodes has allegedly been contacting WWE wrestlers asking if they want to join AEW. They say, on a recent episode of The Brand, Vince Russo's podcast, it was revealed by Billy Body of the Dirty Sheets that several WWE wrestlers have forwarded emails that came from Cody asking if they have interest. They say Russo's comments, and they have quotes, Billy has given email by talent from Cody Rhodes and da-da-da-da-da. So, and it's a source ringside news. So, they gave you credit, which is one of the very first times I've ever seen you given fucking credit because everyone just takes your shit.
Back in the day, we used to get it all the time. The weird thing about that is that of all the fucking things I've said on that show in terms of talking about all the latest developments with the business, and I mean, there's a clip there where I said, just as early as Friday, I said that WWE have been ordered, so Kevin Dunn has requested that there is no retribution interference on Friday because they're expecting a spike in the numbers and people will think that the Thunderdome is fucked up. So they said that and this is true. They said like, we don't want them to have any kind of technological interference. And this is a free video on YouTube. They said, we only like them to have an angle where they come in and interfere or whatever, but no technological.
No turning on and off.
Yeah. In the Thunderdome. And they actually went with it and they didn't have any technological interference at all. So that's how fucking paranoid they were because they actually thought that Thunderdome was a massive like advertisement for the company.
See, my thought is right before they go back to normal fans and they abandon this Thunderdome thing is that this retribution comes in with bats and destroys all the monitors with all the fans on them. Like starts just beating the shit out of all the monitors and breaking everything. That'd be some wild way to fucking end it. Just fucking smashing the fans in the face.
I found it very odd how you're leaving the PC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these guys mashed it up like the week before.
Yeah.
And it's all back to normal. And then you say, we're leaving the PC. It's like, are you dumb? Like, how do you not make that? Yeah. It's like, we're leaving the PC. Say next week. Just say next week on WWE.com. Just announced this week Raw or SmackDown, whatever, is coming from a new location because of the end of Raw where Retribution destroyed the performance center.
And then I laugh because they'll show up at the fucking the Thunderdome. You go, well, how'd they get in there?
You know what? I know what's funny. Like someone said to me on Twitter, it's like I said, oh, well, I should have done this, and they went, well, that would have been pretty fucking stupid. As NXT is still at the performance center, they're not at the performance center. So like their show is not the performance center either. They moved to Full Sail this week, like undercover, which no one noticed. or paid attention to. Like that pay-per-view's at Full Sail.
Oh, shit.
So everybody moved. So they really could have done that story.
Hmm. That's true. That would have been a better idea, that's for sure.
Well, it would have made the group look better. I mean, because all they did was like fucking chainsaw the ropes and all that shit, which everybody knows you can just replace easily. I mean, they have to replace the ropes anyway because of the COVID thing.
They can't ever. They gotta always replace the ropes because they're gonna fucking cause COVID.
Apparently they replace. I don't know about the ropes.
That makes no sense.
They replace the mat.
The mat, I understand, because you can't wipe that down.
That's the joke, isn't it? Oh, sorry, I forgot. The joke is like Triple H in his super spray, because apparently he was on a press conference where he said, "Oh, we got." He was talking about them, and then they were like going, "We got this spray, and it kills like germs in 30 seconds." It's like. Yeah, it's called disinfectant. It's been around for about 50 years. Like every disinfectant.
They're going to spray inside our bodies that no one Trump wants to do? Inject
everyone.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Like people give Trump shit. But Triple H went on and did the pretty much a similar press conference where he was.
Well, they are friends.
He was telling the media about how they have this. And he what was funniest is because he used the actual phrase. We have a special spray.
Lysol. I have a special spray. Jesus Christ. So you want to do a go over a little bit of SummerSlam, even though we peppered in some, but some of the shit that we did not think.
Yeah, let's do it all because just to reiterate what we're doing, there's no Raw on the show, as Kat said at the top, because there's so much going on here. And if we do Raw as part of this, we'll have half of the matches, I think, for Payback. And then by the time we do next week's show, we'll be doing the results of Payback without previewing the card properly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to preview the Payback card myself once I know what it is, which will not happen till Saturday. So on Saturday, you're going to get a late version of Raw. And I'm talking about this as the one drawback where I'm turning around and saying, oh, you know, we're going to like a really good Raw is going to have to wait till like Saturday. It's not going to be a good Raw. Like, it's not like there's not going to be a lot of stuff.
If all hell breaks loose, we'll fucking find a way to get you a fucking show.
Yeah, let's say that. Like, in terms of if it does end up being some incredible show where we get the big reveal of Roman and the fucking the new NWO or whatever.
Yeah, it'd have to be something other than Roman saying, I'm behind this. Something has to go on.
I don't think there's any way that he does that tonight, but yeah.
Yeah. The Asuka and Bayley thing starting off. You know, it's funny because I thought the way you did, I thought Asuka would win both titles that night. But I think I kind of like the way this worked better, that Sasha helped Bayley so fucking much and constantly was getting beat up and constantly was helping, and Bayley wins. And then when it's her turn, she fucking loses because Bayley doesn't help as well and like moves out of the way from things and ends up losing.
Right.
I think that's a good lead in. And I mean, everyone's obviously waiting for the Mega Powers to explode here anyway. Because you think they'll just lose the titles, the tag titles next too?
Yeah, they'll lose tag titles next. I mean, I had all of this right. So far, this week, I had Bayley winning and Asuka.
Thought you had Asuka winning. You said the parlay, Asuka winning both these titles.
No, I didn't. I had Asuka winning against Sasha, but losing to Bayley.
Oh, fuck. I don't know what the hell I heard then. And then we went to Street Profits and Andrade and Garza.
Oh, you know, what I might have said was that. Yeah, because my bet was Bayley to retain the title. So what I might have turned around and said is that what I thought was going to happen was by the time, but I didn't bet this. But what I thought would happen was is that Bayley would get a what I thought when I did that show was that Bayley would get herself disqualified on purpose, and then she would end up just bashing her. Oscar's brains in, so that by the time Sasha came in, she would think that she would just have an easy victory. But in WWE, like, world,
Superman,
like she would end up actually losing. But that's how I thought they would do it. But once once Naomi got the pin on Bayley on Friday, I was 100% sure that Bayley would not only retain but also win because she's lost to Oscar and then she's lost to Naomi. And now we know straight coming out of this that before there's we get the long build towards Sasha versus Bayley, we got Naomi's title shot and everything to come as well. So it's the actual match between those two is not going to happen, I don't think, until they're out of the Thunderdome, unless it's the last Thunderdome pay-per-view to Hell in a Cell, which could be a good place for them two to wrestle.
Where the hell is Carmella?
You know what? I think that...
can't be COVID, can it?
No.
It's a long time.
Because she had that already. What I reckon's probably happened is that because she got COVID bad, I think they probably turned around and said that this is a condition where you need to like be away from it.
Really?
Because that's what I would say. I can't say, I don't know that for a fact, but I would think that she got some like, she had some bad COVID and they probably turned around and said that you have, there's conditions that she could have would be asthma or, I don't even know. I don't know what breathing difficulty conditions you can have.
Yeah. What did you think of the solo cups falling all over the fucking place? I actually enjoyed it. I liked them all shooting all over the fucking stage and dumping all over the crowd.
Yeah, I hate this team. I just
you know, they're annoying as shit.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in them at all.
And he's covering up his puffy nipples in this match. You notice that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, he's got the full outfit on, so he's covering up those puffy nipples.
I got this match wrong. This was one of the ones. I had two matches wrong, and this was one of them.
And Street Profits retain their title, and it just causing more shit between Andrade and Garza because he wasn't there for the tag, all that shit. Here's a match that I was very upset by. Is this Mandy and Sonya? I was so excited for this, and I must be a fucking idiot. I must be a moron, because as far as I know, on SmackDown, they raised the stakes, they said. So I'm assuming it's shave your head and also lose your job. I'm thinking that's what this is. And then I hear on the pre-show, oh, I was excited for this, and now they changed it to... just lose your job. And you know, like, what?
That was really great in terms of Renee knowing that she was out of the company.
Yeah.
So she actually came onto TV and said, I'm so disappointed with the change. Like, there's no way like a fucking employee.
That's why I was shocked that someone actually said it, because I was like, oh. And that's when I first knew. I was like, what the fuck? I thought they were cutting hair. Where did this happen?
Because I
said,
SmackDown.
Yeah, but when they said they fucking upped the stakes, I'm thinking they didn't take away one of them. They never said, let's not do that. And I'm like, well, where the fuck did this? So I was annoyed as hell. And I was even more annoyed by Mandy's outfit, because I said, oh, she must be on her period. She's all fucking covered up and bundled up. And she was fighting her pants the whole time, trying to pull them out of her fucking ass, which ended up giving her a camel toe, too.
What the fuck was she doing with her hair as well? Like, that just looked weird.
Yeah, the Addicted to Love fucking hairdo. She came out there and didn't do her normal pose. I guess this is supposed to be her, you know, she meant business, Mandy. That's what I'm thinking. There was no, I'm, you know, hot, look at me. It was, fuck you, I'm going to kill you. That was the only thing I was thinking here. Do you like the picture that I sent you, by the way, today?
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, total fucking camel toe for Mandy, fucking wedged up there. My favorite too is that she couldn't flip a table.
Yeah.
She was fighting the table more than she was fighting Sonya. She's fucking trying to flip that table, and then she said fuck it, and then finally got it again. I'm like, oh, that's fucking bad. The match wasn't a bowling shoe, but it was pretty fucking close. I did like the spots where she was sliding the chairs on the table, like to fucking take her head off and firing them on the table like that. You know, whole bunch of knee lifts and all that kind of shit, and then finally fucking pins her. But as you pretty much, you think, or do you know that she's only taking months off because of this whole stalker case?
Yeah, I would think they turned around and said that. I think it's a bad look for them to shave the head of somebody that's involved in this, because obviously
that's true. You got to go to court.
Not just that, in terms of like obviously the mental. She's like obviously going through all the, like the mental health bullshit and all that, where they turn around and go, "Oh, you know, you're saying that you're going through mental health issues, but your work made you shave your head bald." You know, I would think that they probably just covered themselves in this situation in terms of not having somebody who's going through like a major court issue and obviously what could have been like a scary incident, etc. Mm-hmm. Not subjecting her to having her head shaved bald under this current time. I think he just would have just made him, especially now. I don't think they would have given a fuck like 20 years ago, but I think now everybody's so fucking sensitive. Mm-hmm. Like they have to look out for themselves.
So just think this guy pretty much ruined the storyline. She would have had her head shaved otherwise.
Yeah, I think so.
Fuck.
I can't think of anything else that would be. Like, I've never seen a change like that where it's and the thing is that storyline was not an upgrade. I mean, they say the stakes are higher, but we know the stakes aren't real.
Yeah.
Because we know everybody comes back, right? So it's just for us.
Yeah, the hair would have been worse, way worse.
Yeah, the hair would have like taken a year to come back, whereas she will take less than a year to come back.
Yeah. From reading some of the shit that happened with that stalking thing, that he was sending her messages that said, "I'm going to leave your parents' heads at your doorstep and your sister's head." I'm like, my fucking God, this fucking guy.
You hear how he got into the house? Like how he cut a square hole in the door?
Well, yeah, like earlier in the day, and then just stayed by the fucking pool and camped until it was dark. I'm like, oh my God. And it sounds like Mandy was at the house spending the night in the guest room.
Right.
Because they can never mention her fucking name. But it was like a horror movie, because she runs out of the house to try to get in the car and go, and she can't start the car. But it's because she's so fucked up and she's pressing the fucking wrong pedal that it won't fucking work.
Here's what I don't understand, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't she a cage fighter?
Yeah, I thought the same thing, but at the same time, you don't know this guy got a fucking knife or a fucking gun or what.
But
that's
still
different. I mean, I don't know. I you could be the toughest guy. You could be Mike Tyson. Somebody shows up at your fucking door in the dark. You're going to shoot. I'm assuming you got a gun. You know, you got a knife, I got a chance. You got a gun, I really don't have much of a fucking shot.
Right.
Rollins and Dominic, we kind of talked about this earlier, that Dom had a really good match. And I find it interesting that he's wearing a hood, and we call a mask a hood. But the thing was driving him crazy because it wasn't out of his face the whole fucking time. I suggested that they have a little magnet on the top of the hood and on the middle of his fucking back. So when he puts his hood back, it would stay in one place. I heard, what the fuck name did they want to call him? It was something. They fucking, Mysterio said they talked about a name for him, and that it was in the works maybe. It wasn't Dominic, that's for sure. But a very sadistic match. I really enjoyed the, it was very close to Orton and Triple H and Stephanie, where he's handcuffed and he's just out of the reach and he fucking tortures them in front of them, you know?
Yeah, and obviously it kept it going as well, didn't it? Like, in terms of, it kept the feud going as I expected it would.
Yeah, I'm like, so Rollins is never going to fucking lose until the end. And it's like, and so the Mysterio family's going to go, yeah, we got him. It'd be like, you lost 10 matches and won one. What do you mean you got
him? This is a weird thing. Like, in terms of on this show, I had results on in terms of being able to pick two of the biggest underdogs on this show. But my losses came, my main loss came on one of the biggest favorites, which is what the fucking Street Profits, the Street Profits, the
Garza and Andrade.
Garza and Andrade were like two of the biggest or the biggest favorites on this card.
Really?
Rollins was an underdog, and Drew was a big underdog as well.
Really?
And I knew about Drew, and I knew about Rollins and his time off when that was coming about. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I don't think you can start a new feud with that, and I think this is going to be Rollins' write-off. But if you've got to get to like October, November with this thing, you got to just keep torturing his family until then.
I thought he was going to really go get Angie and do something to Mysterio's wife, which would have been really fucking good. I think this feud is the only feud
where you can actually finish it that's viable for Hell in a Cell. And I think you could get away with putting four guys in there and having a Hell in a Cell tag match with Dominik and Rey against Murphy and Rollins, and you have four people in a cage. I think that would be good.
That is actually a good idea. I like that too. And I assume that Rey and Dominik will win the tag titles eventually as well. So maybe what they do is have Murphy and fucking Rollins get the tag titles soon. Because that'll be the take it off them thing.
I would think that would be the next only reason
Street Profits won.
Yeah, I would think that, because I mean I was certain that Andrade and Garza were winning. So I mean that would be a good enough reason.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea that we just make that up on a fly, and that's a good thing. We already talked about Asuka and Sasha. Orton and Drew. They're busy saying I didn't see that coming. I'm like, well, yeah, we didn't see a backslide for a win coming. But I don't know. What do you think of this whole thing?
Sorry, what did you ask me about?
The Orton and Drew. What do you think?
Oh, right. I think obviously my main takeaway was that it keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
I had hundreds invested in Drew. Jeez. Winning. So I mean,
he had let you know ahead of time.
Not entirely.
What is he K5 you?
No.
I mean, he can't just say, "Yeah, I'm winning tonight."
No, I don't think he can, because he doesn't know that either himself. In terms,
that's true.
He knows I'm going to like gamble on it, but so sure. He's
a good company guy. Like they're told not to tell people, obviously. So he fucking adheres to it.
But at the same time, like drops hints. He doesn't know. Like in terms of, I found out of somebody that he was winning the Royal Rumble before he found out he was winning the Royal Rumble. That's a true story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like 11:30 Sunday my time, which is 11:30 time is your time. I'm not doing it your time. Central Eastern time is what, 6:30, and then for you that's 3:30, right?
Yeah, I am 8 hours behind you, and I am 3 hours behind the East Coast.
Yeah, so 3:30 in the afternoon for you, which is an hour and a half before pay-per-view starts, isn't it?
Jesus, yeah.
Right, yeah, he didn't know. So about the Royal Rumble. That's my long-winded point. But in this instance, like all I was getting from him, he goes, if I'm losing, they haven't told me. So he goes, you'd think they would have spoken to me about it and things of that nature that I was getting. So, and I agreed with that, but at the same time, it wasn't like it would be unheard of from things I've known from this company over the last 20 years for them to tell somebody that they're losing. I mean, Bret Hart says back in a documentary that I've seen that in his first title reign, they built Yokozuna up for Bret to beat him. Like Yoko at WrestleMania 9 was going to be his big win, because obviously he won it off Flair at a fucking house show.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, WrestleMania 9, they told him, like, you're going to beat fucking Razor, and you were supposed to beat Ultimate Warrior, if you remember, at WrestleMania 9. Warrior left. They were like, oh, you know, we're just going to build this Yoko guy up instead, and you'll beat him. But then
you imagine Bret beating Ultimate Warrior? It's like nearly impossible to imagine. I can't imagine
Bret beating the Warrior the way that Bret said he was going to beat him in the Sharpshooter.
Oh my God! Bret's out of his mind if he thinks they were going to have Warrior tap out.
I think he's out of his mind that he was even going to beat Warrior. But
yeah, that's, you can't have a match. That's not that style at all.
I even think that at certain points that a Warrior even had that Bret even got the title because they knew they were going to fire Warrior. So, but they just didn't tell Bret, because I just feel that Warrior would have made a lot more sense going in. I think and the weird thing is that as much as Bret turned out to be like great and everybody likes him in that, at the time you didn't understand how he got to that position. Whereas if you're looking at WrestleMania 9 completely differently at the time, and you turn around and said months out, oh, WrestleMania 9 is going to be Ultimate Warrior versus Yokozuna for the title, you'd be like, that sounds like a WrestleMania main event to me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
But in terms of like Bret and Yoko didn't at the time. So it's weird. Like history dictates something else, but Warrior was a much, much bigger name back in 92, 93. So that's the thing. Things change like that all the time, to the point where Bret was told that he was winning the belt all the way up to WrestleMania 9. I always use that story, but it's there's hundreds of examples, and there's one that was this, obviously, as I spoke about, Drew himself didn't know he's winning the Royal Rumble an hour and a half beforehand. So there wasn't an optimal amount of chance for me to get money on. But even in that sense, when I was telling Drew was the underdog, he was saying stuff like, I've not heard anything about it. But at the same time, I was getting information from media guys who were categorically saying to me that Drew is so, they're so happy with Drew's media and availability and hard work that there's, and the way he comes off on those, on the stuff that he does, that there's no way that he will be dropping the title.
Really? So like, you think this is going until probably Rumble or all the way till next Mania?
What, the title run?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the title run, I think, is going to Mania.
Oh fuck. That's a fucking, they better get some fucking bad guys. Jesus Christ. Or it's going to go for 3 months, right?
Well, here's the thing, right? And here's the thing. A lot of people were saying that Orton's got to win the title, and he was even a favorite because of the way that he's had a good year as a heel, and how he came in and he was credible, right?
Mm-hmm.
That just tells me how low like the bar is in this company, because whenever somebody's like built up correctly, the point of heels, right? And if you look back to the way Hogan beat everybody going across the 80s, but there's so many people in the past who faced Hulk Hogan that didn't win, that we considered to be legendary without actually winning the championship. You're talking about the likes of Andre did win, I
that's
guess.
That's fake. DiBiase.
Yeah, it was Andre, DiBiase were challengers.
Boss Man.
Boss
All those big guys. Bundy.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah,
sorry, go on. That was mine.
So after this, we'll get into here. We kind of brushed into it because there's the main story after this is Fiend and Strowman, which we kind of think they're doing a double turn. You can't tell because of the crowd, but I still think I'm hearing booing when they're piping in shit. And it's pretty much Strowman losing his fucking mind. But the big story is that Roman comes back with his big choppers. And it's odd because Roman is acting very bad and doing the, like, yelling at Strowman saying, you're only a monster when I'm here. I made you. Like, you know, the only reason you did anything is from him. And, you know, beating the shit out of fucking Fiend, all that kind of stuff. So that's the big thing that goes on here, where I really think he's going to be a fucking bad guy, because it wasn't fucking Roman-esque good guy style at all.
No, it was in teeth, wasn't it, though?
The glowing fucking teeth. Well, he said, I fucking see your fucking eating corn through a fence, and I raise you an apple. And then he tried to do it himself over Derek.
I thought it was crazy that the fucking Derek was there on the night that happened. Like, I mean, I didn't even know about that because I don't follow his...
Well, I told you I got that secret fucking Twitter one, so I could go see it, because I knew damn well he would be on that shit. I was like, I fucking bet you anything. And him and that fucking dickbag fucking Schlag, they were both fucking busy with, like, their whole little... The little homo group, fucking Steel Cage, they were all on a Zoom call together, jerking off, watching. And it's funny because Fausti's like, oh, I wonder if fucking he's having sipping champagne after Drew won his match. And I go, yeah, he's busy texting him, not getting replies. Left on red. Oh, because you know he's busy texting him, congratulations.
You know what the thing is that you actually, like, when you sign up for the terms and conditions, because I I signed up for it, and then once I got through, it says that this is full, but they just they still want your fucking details to add you to like your database. It said on there that if you by signing this, you agree that only you will appear on camera, and if anybody else is anybody else appears, you'll be thrown off. So that's actually a thing on there where it says that. Like, so I mean, I was even thinking, because I remember my exact thinking at that time is, you're telling me that I have a fucking 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, and he wants to obviously be on more than me. And he pops up, because I already did like a whole load of TV shows, in case you didn't know. And,
Billy's famous. If you didn't know, ask him.
And, and that's the thing, like, so I mean, you're telling me, like, fucking, if parents get this, right, because you have to be over 18.
Sure.
That they're fucking, the children are trying to get on, and you have to be like, no, Tommy.
That's
you
funny. Fucking,
you sit there, like.
You're going to get me banned. Don't do it.
You're going to get me. I mean, we know Derek doesn't love his kid, so like, he probably would have just, like.
He ignores her. He's in the bedroom.
He ignores her and, like, fuck. Fucks his wife while he's got a picture of Lana up on the poster board. So,
has a book unfolded on her fucking back.
I wonder if he still likes her, like in terms of how she's...
Apparently he does. I've seen here and there a tweet where he's fucking yelling at someone for saying Lana should have been fired instead. You know, shit.
That's the one like he still like navigates towards and hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's you see how fucking awful she is. You know, it's just she's because terrible. Not even character; she's just bad as a human.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, when you're that small little guy like that, you think like, "Oh, I'd like to navigate towards someone like that. I have a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who would like love me for me, that kind of thing." Like, so you'd be looking at like see how these girls like conduct themselves on TV. I'm trying to think of someone who comes across as like a really nice girl that might like just fall in love with somebody who doesn't have any like looks or money. I'm trying to think if any of the women actually come across like that at all.
Well, isn't that Noelle?
Well, I think that clown has money, don't you?
I think his parents do. I mean, he's unemployed, so. But I mean, he's got loser written all over him. He doesn't have a fucking nothing going on.
Isn't it weird that, like, you've not got any woman who comes across in a company where, like, there's... I mean, I guess Becky would slightly... But that's the thing. Since she's with Seth, you wouldn't feel like... But, like, you would obviously... I think most guys would feel like that her character would give a chance to... I mean, before she did the whole man thing. I think her old character comes across like that. And
I could see... the old AJ Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd sit there play video games with you.
Okay, but my point is that, like, Lana has drifted over to that shallow, high, pretentious Bella territory.
Oh, true life.
Where she has no relation to Derek at all in terms of there would be... I mean,
where's my jewelry? Pay for this. I want expensive shit. Yeah,
like, don't touch me with those fucking dirty fingernails.
Yes.
Like, you know, yeah, that kind of shit.
Come
like,
in a towel. So don't come on me.
Yeah. Vapid cunt, I believe.
Very.
They call it.
Yes, yeah, that's what they call it.
So, yeah, I mean, that would, I think, would put him off where he'd be looking for someone more like... I mean, didn't they, like, all, like, wank over the indie girls that have now come through, like Candice LeRae and Toni Storm, and
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy Toni Storm myself. She, the second she stops wrestling or has a kid, she's gonna be enormous. That ass is enormous. So I think that's one of those things. She gets out of hand for 2 seconds, it's gonna be twice the size.
Yeah, like when Nia Jax went off and
had her baby. When she had triplets, yeah. Or she's still pregnant with the triplet.
I heard she was only pregnant for 3 months.
She has to pass a big shit. So that's the end of your review. Are we done, you think, for today? Did we cover everything? Is there anything else to touch on?
What would you, how would you like generally rate the show?
Fuck.
I tell you what, it was what my problem with it was. What it was, my problem with it was.
I would say go to 6 or 7. That's about it.
6 or 7 what?
A rating out of 10.
Oh, right. Yeah, I agree. But and it's down to I was disappointed with the fact that I was happy at first because they cut the card down to like 7 matches because they gave that match down.
Shocked it was 3 hours. Absolutely in shock.
And I was thinking they have learned now and we are going to get the 2 hour, 2.5 hour pay-per-view again here for SummerSlam. And we ended up getting like 3:20. It needed to have shorter matches. Some matches didn't deserve the time. And I think in a weird way needed more matches because I felt like we needed some matches to break up the matches where you have a match where
it's like they're all important.
In previous SummerSlams, you had like things with the Demon where he wins in like 4 or 5 minutes and to end his feuds. Yeah, you beat Bray and Corbin. And like SummerSlams I went to in 17 and 18, they had those quick matches on there. We had a match where Braun Strowman beat Kevin Owens in a couple of minutes too at 2018. You know that's right because you've seen them all.
and I still can't remember.
Yeah, so yeah, we and even the main event with Roman and Brock was about 10 minutes that year. So yeah, we didn't have that. We just had everything 15, 20 all the time throughout when they didn't need to be. And some matches, I actually fell asleep during the Street Profits match and the Andrade match. At that point, I got up and got a 2 cans of like Dr. Pepper and started to just
plow try to wake yourself up. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got exactly. It rough. It's you're watching this shit in the middle of the fucking night, which I couldn't imagine living over there for sports. I'd be like, man, this sucks.
I was more surprised with Austin struggling with than me, because he and me just quite he sails through.
Yeah, young kid, then, they're ready to they're fucking excited and ready to bounce off the wall.
Oh, he said when Mania came on both nights, he sailed through and he was like trying to fucking watch the next program that come on. I don't know if it was the Undertaker one or at the time. Mm-hmm. He's like, going, oh, can I stay up and watch this as well? I was like, no.
Oh, the after thing, the fucking road, the yeah, show must go on. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it was after. Mm-hmm. So, but it was none of that this time. Like he was straight up ready for bed and he was falling asleep during different times. I woke him up during Drew's match and during not the Street Profits match because we would have both been out. I think he woke me up during that one.
And Mandy,
No, it wasn't. It was a little later than that. Yeah, no, you know, I think it was just
Dominic and Mysterio thing.
No, we were both well awake for that because that was our like money match because that was a match where he was about to. He made his predictions on the show. Actually, Austin went 7-1 with his picks, and the one he got wrong was Dominic. And the reason we like properly set up is I didn't let him bet Dominic. I said like, all right, do all your bets, but don't bet Dominic. And he's like, oh, that's like that wins me like so much extra money on the parlays and all that. I was like, yeah but it will kill your parlays too. So yeah, he took it off, and then we were watching that with intent because I had a bet on Rollins, and he'd sat off under my advice. And but the thing is that he also wanted Street Profits as a massive underdog, and I told him sit off that as well because I think they're losing. So I cost him bets that were coming in at like 3-4 to 1 on the Street Profits is like massive underdogs by the time the show started. So yeah, that was pretty shit. But kids up to 260 pounds, starting with a £20. I gave him at WrestleMania to start betting with. I said, I'll let you have £20 out of my account to just enjoy as a one-off to enjoy WrestleMania. Don't tell your mum, I'll let you bet. And that £20 is now 260.
Wow. Yeah. Jesus. See, I wish I had that gambling over here, but no sites over here do that shit.
Oh yeah. Like, well, I mean, some of them do, but your state, I think, is banned.
Yeah, there you go. That's probably what it is. Also, I want to send out something for anybody who's listening, because obviously they're all wrestling fans. I got on eBay a few things where if someone wants to go buy a couple of these fucking old magazines I put online, go look up my name, Cav Manning, on eBay. Because I also have, I just put up there the other day, I put up those fucking wall hangings those Brutus the Beefcake wall hanging, the Hulk Hogan wall hanging, and the Undertaker one. Remember those?
Yeah,
I put those on there, and I also have, like, all the fucking spotlights I put on there. And one of them is autographed by Bret Hart, and one of them is autographed by DiBiase. But I got, like, the Warrior one, the old Undertaker one, Elizabeth, Macho Man, Piper, Boss Man, Rockers, Jake, Hogan, Demolition, Austin 316 one, another kind of Undertaker one. So all those are on there if anybody's looking to buy spotlights. Just go look under my fucking name, and they'll be there. God knows. I wish I could find someone who wanted to buy the entire magazine collection from 88 till it ended, because I have all those. But you got to find, that's a specific market and a person to fucking buy that shit. You know.
Yeah, what else do you have from that time? Because they're things I always remember from the merchandise catalog, but I like the fucking old varsity jackets, t-shirts.
God knows, I got all the t-shirts, that's for fucking sure. I got a fucking ton of, I think I have half of them in fucking storage still. I never threw anything out.
What about, like, Spotlight magazine? You have any of those?
Oh, yeah, that's what's all this eBay thing. I got, like, all the fucking spotlights. Yeah, there's a fucking ton of them. And even the, all the old programs, like SummerSlam 88 and Survivor Series, Royal Rumbles, all the fucking programs, I have all those, too.
It's so weird, right? Because I always reach this, like, weird sort of cycle where I want to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
Completely. And then make loads of room. But then I like start to like recollect things I didn't have. And it's just a bit, and it's like, oh, as I'm throwing stuff out, as I'm like trying to get rid of stuff, I end up then moving to the mentality of, oh, I don't want to get rid of this. I want to get rid of, sometimes I can cut loose, but then I hit something where it's like, oh, I don't want to get rid of this. And I also want to add to this. So I'll just be there like going, okay, I'll get rid of this, I'll get rid of this, I'll get rid of this. I don't want to get rid of the WWF magazines from the early 90s and 80s, but I'm missing fucking June 91 or some shit.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not missing June 91, that's what I mean, 7. But just for example, I'm missing this particular issue, and then I go and fucking start hunting down and buying.
The ones that I was missing here and there because throughout the years or whatever, like, I just went on eBay because I was like, well, I need the collection complete. So I like bought five, and it was like, okay, I'm done. I collected them all.
Can you explain why WrestleMania results would come out in June's issue and why Raw Rumble's results would come out in April's issue? That always confused me. Did you used to get that magazine? Like, did June come out at some point in May or something like that?
Yeah, they would always come a month ahead at least. They would be early. I know that when I would get them in the mail, the month was not matching. That's for sure. And I was like, well, I guess they have to fucking, the results have to go in, you know, so far, this is how far out they print it. So, but yeah, I mean, I had a subscription since 88 until it was done. I never stopped. And then I ended up getting a check from them because I was still subscribed when it ended and they had to send me a check. So I still have the check because it was WWE check.
Yeah, I fucking used to get that magazine. So I was telling Austin about it in terms of going, oh, I used to be in this like fan club.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be in this magazine every week. And I'd be like, oh, why?
Remember the audio tape you got with the entrance music in the fan club?
Yeah, that was the entrance. That was just before Full Metal where the CD came out and you finally got like 12, 14 people's music. Austin Gold. Austin wasn't on that. Was he Austin on Full Metal?
No, not on that one. That was fucking the Gold Dust one. That
Gold Dust.
1-800 Thorn in Your Eye for the Raw fucking opening was on there. Shit like that. Vader.
Yeah, Diesel was at number 3, wasn't he? So, yeah, I remember that that yellow CD that you had, and yeah, that was like a big deal. But before that, it was no music, no YouTube, no nothing. So you just got the I joined the fan club for the cassette, but I used to get the magazine every week. And he was not understanding this at all in terms of buying these magazines and reading them through and looking forward to them. And I put Wrestling Superstars on for him because I'm trying to like get through it on the network at the moment. And it's really fucking enjoyable. Like, if anybody's been a fan for as long as us, just going through like 92, 93 superstars, even I even enjoy when they like go to the update and then they say, oh, next in 3 weeks, this, that SummerSlam, we're going to have this, that, and the other. It's like, yeah, like 3 weeks, get, look forward to it. The whole card is announced and they, and every match is built up.
Yep.
Even not like no one touches on TV in any kind of like no, none of the stars. No one on the pay-per-view. So like, say you got like,
it was like the Brother Love show was the only time they would even come in close to touching each other.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, any, even like, not even the two people in feuds. Like, anybody, they wouldn't just. So say for example, you got Boss Man feuding Mauti, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Shawn Michaels feuding Tatanka. You wouldn't do Mauti and Tatanka on TV, and Boss Man and Shawn on TV, and then they would have like interference and then build up, and then somehow the two people would have a tag match against, you know, so then it wouldn't be like Tatanka and Boss Man versus Mauti and Shawn. Someone would get pinned and then you knew who was going to be winning at the pay-per-view.
Sure.
None of that.
Nope.
It was just like completely not touching at all. And, you
and a champion would never lose. Like, Intercontinental Champion would never fucking be pinned unless it was fucking he lost a title. Now it's like, no, oh, it, they lose the fucking they lose a match to get a title shot. It's like, great.
And that's the thing, like, when Brett was champion and they were trying to, like, build him up, then they'd put him on TV and, like, he'd beat, like, Virgil and Berserker and Papa Shango just to get all these, like, wins. But they were wins against people that people actually knew.
Mm-hmm.
So even people that they knew that were, like, nowhere near the title, you'd be like, oh, they got proper main events on this week. Now, Bret Hart is facing guys that we whose name we know and beating him on regular TV. So
we were so hungry for anything at the time, too. There was never a fucking Saturday Night Main Event would come out and you'd lose your fucking mind because you finally got something tangible, you know? Like, that's what made, I think, primetime wrestling great, because they'd actually be wrestling against other fucking guys you knew.
Well, Saturday Night Main Event will be back soon, I think. So,
but it's garbage, you can, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be in amongst the 9 hours of stuff you already have to watch. So yeah.
Great. 32 days of fucking Saturday Night Main Event.
And that's the part that nobody like understands in terms of, oh, why was Saturday Night's Main Event so great? Well, you had 45 minutes of actual action on Wrestling Challenge,
mm-hmm.
and you had 45 minutes on Superstars, and then you introduced Raw at like 1 hour a week, at which point Saturday Night's Main Event was gone. Saturday Night's Main Event went coincided with Raw starting. It was a few months between the two. But prior to that, you had two 45-minute shows, and then you had a Saturday Night's Main Event pop up like once a month. So, or even less than that.
Yeah, I think it was
so
less
than that.
Of
course you're right. And fucking four pay-per-views. So, of course you're going to be like, I can't, I think it didn't even exist long enough in my, for me at the right age for me to really fucking appreciate how crazy I would have been for that.
It was right in my fucking time, baby. I was right in the middle of it, where that's what made me the biggest fucking fan, man. That shit had me hooked and never left. That was fucking what I lived for, man. That Saturday Night Main Event thing would come on too, because every Saturday morning I'd be there for Superstars, because it was the only thing you got. So I'd be there every fucking morning. And over here, when the Giants game would come on, they would preempt Superstars. I wanted to kill the Giants. I wanted them fucking dead. Because I'm like, there goes my fucking, I don't get to watch them. It's not like, oh, it'll be on later. It was just, sorry, this was what was on in its place. And I wanted to kill them. That's why I ended up hating the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I started watching around, not around 91, around at SummerSlam night, between WrestleMania 7 and SummerSlam 91, I was getting tapes off people till my dad fucking ended up getting the chat. So this is what happened, right? There's Sky TV over here, and people were selling like these illegal cards that made all the channels work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we like had that. Like I didn't have wrestling before or like football, nothing. Like I knew about it from WrestleMania 7. I heard about it between round about WrestleMania 6 to 7. Like people were talking about Warrior Hogan and all that, and then I just started to get into it. And then we got it between SummerSlam 91 and Survivor Series 91. Mm-hmm. And then the card stopped working. And then, like, he didn't buy the real card and the channel and the dish for like a whole year because he got burned on the fucking illegal one.
Oh, shit.
And to like, just like every time was like giving people tapes. Like, my mum would buy the fucking tapes and then give them to like someone's mum, and yeah, they would put the wrestling on it. And once it was full, like, and then do you remember like videotapes used to have like long play and short play for some reason?
Yeah, it would make it more clear if it was LP.
No, less clear, because it had less clear, because it had more
extended play would be EP. EP was fucking would be blurrier because it fucking would give you more space.
We call it long play, short play. I didn't even really know. So
it was SLP, LP, and EP, I believe, for us. Standard long play, I think, was the fucking, like, all it would do is hold then 2 hours if you recorded on that. If you put that fucker to EP, it was 8.
I'd love to have these fucking tapes now, because I was
and I have them all. Fuck.
But that's the thing. I'd have some neighbor, and I'd wait, right, mm-hmm, till it would get through the full 6 hours was done.
Yeah.
And then get it as a fucking tape. Like, I would just go, and I had to suffer like that. So I had this, I had it, and then I didn't have it, and then I did a fucking nearly a year on tapes until SummerSlam 92 came around. And then it was like, all right, so this is a big thing, and a lot of fucking people are watching it, because they didn't really know what it was, because there was some stuff around at the time where they wouldn't get it, in terms of these people being wrestlers being gay and into drugs and all these scandals and shit that was being covered over here at the start of 92.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't rushing.
We weren't rushing to, like, get it. They weren't rushing to, like, buy again.
See, I ended up, like, you go to the video store every fucking Saturday and get the fucking wrestling fucking VHS, you know? And it was always, I mean, they had Mania and all that kind of shit, but they also had those individual tapes of just, you know, wrestling for whatever the fuck they wanted to call it.
They still got those fucking tapes. They put those tapes back out on there. We're still doing our show, right? For some time, or are we just talking here?
No, it's all being recorded.
We better, like, cut it off, because people won't listen to the show that looks too
Yeah, long. We should close this down. We're already an hour and a half in. Check out Billy. You can go get him. All his shit is at Dirty Sheets, and that is on Twitter at DirtySheets.com. You can go there. You'll see all his stuff that he doesn't promote.
TheDirtySheets.com.
It's TheDirtySheets.com. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Are you talking about my Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. You said that right.
I'm like, fuck, I'm not as good as all the rest of the fucking guys fucking it up. DirtySheets.com is his Twitter. Go there, and he should have links to everything, even though he never promotes the show and tweets it out like I tell him to. And I say, how do you expect to get any fucking people to listen to this? Or you can go listen to all my bullshit, and my Twitter is at Lingus Mafia, and my show's always around, and there's constant nonsense with me. So go to my eBay, though. Look up Cav Manning on eBay and check out some of these magazines, because now I'm going to be trying to sell them all to Billy and fucking get rid of them. and give him some fucking wall hangings, too. For Billy, I'm Cav. We're out of time.